Well, hey there, this is Debs, the Horoscopes Lady, and I ask the same question every week. Do you know where your planets are? This is a sidereal radio show, and that means I look at the stars the way they are against the constellations. For instance, the sun just got to Taurus. It's in 1 degrees of Taurus. It just got there. We're at the dark of the moon. We're having a new moon real soon, though, actually this evening, which will be a lot of fun. So the moon's in Taurus. Well, what else is up there? I'm chuckling here. Mercury's in Taurus. Venus is in Gemini. Saturn is in Cancer. And if you go out to look at the stars tonight, don't use that tropical zodiac because it won't work. So you have to look at where the planets actually are. Today is May 16th, 2007, and all I'm doing today, I shouldn't say all I'm doing today, I am catching up on emails people have been sending me, asking me questions. And you can do that. You can send to Debs, D-E-B-S, at searchbythestars.com. That's searchbythestars.com. And I will get back to you, do your emails over the air here. If it can be answered, if it's an astrology question that I've already got in print somewhere, my office angel Mary will get it back to you as quickly as possible. And if you'd like to call in today's show to ask questions, please have, you don't have to have the person's name, but you do need their birth date, including the year, and you need the time and the place if you can have it. And if anyone would like to call in and ask questions, the dial-in number here is 877-876-5227. Okay. First chart here, somebody emailed me and about a, no doubt, a beautiful baby boy that was born on March 19th, 2007. And the woman who did it must have been looking at a tropical chart because she said, what about the stellium that this child has? Now, a stellium is when you have four or more planets in a house. I use the whole sign system, so it would be the same thing as in a constellation. So four or more planets in a constellation. And when I say planets, I mean planets including the sun, but not including the north nodes, not including part of fortunes, not including any mathematical points whatsoever, just the planets. Or for that matter, Chiron. I would not consider Chiron as part of a stellium. This young man, he was born March 19th, 2007, at 3:31 a.m. over in France, Nates, France, and I got permission to use that on air. And they just want to know about this baby. Well, he does not have a stellium, but what he does have is what's called a bucket chart. And a bucket chart is when you have one planet, it's the handle of the bucket that's by itself, and all the other planets are on the opposite side of the chart forming some sort of half semicircle that so it looks like a bucket. This young man, when he was born, anyone born March 19th of any year, but certainly of 2007, his sun was actually in 4 degrees of Pisces. He's a new moon baby, but again, it was the dark of the moon, just like today. His sun was 4 degrees 2 minutes, just barely right before that sun. So it's interesting because they asked about his personality. And this is why astrology, you've got to know the time and to get it just right. You know, you can do lots of things by saying, yeah, they were born that day. But this child, if he was born an hour later, he would relate to his family in a very different way. Being born when he was born at the new moon, but it's the dark of the moon, right before the moon got there, and he's going to love his history. He's going to love his family history. He is going to be steeped and everything that has to do with his ancestry and France in general, because I don't know if his parents are French, but that's where they happened to be when the child was born. And he's going to love all that. He will have a great deal of patience, as opposed to a child born that exact same day, a couple hours later, with the moon after the sun, and then he wouldn't quite have the same amount of patience. When he wants it now. You know, very subtle personality differences, but this is going to be a fairly easy baby. He has what's called Sagittarius rising, so he's a car seat baby. This child will get in the car and go anywhere, anytime, happy to to go play, he will have no transition problems between the car to the house. And for those of you out there who have had babies, you know, or remember that far back when your child, you know, you go riding in a car and you get home and you're like, okay, do I sit out here in the car while the child still sleeps? Because you don't want to wake up a sleeping baby. Or can I gently get the child into, you know, her, wherever your child sleeps, in a crib or a bassinet or something. And this child will transition beautifully. This is a boy born on March 19th with the Sagittarius rising. He'll be happy to go new places, happy to do new things, and that's always a lot of fun to have a child like that. With the rest of the bucket, everything is, because it is a nighttime birth, when people are born at night, most people are born at night, no matter where in the world you are, it's between like midnight and 6 a.m., most people are born. And if you think back to it, there are good biological reasons for that. That's where, when predators, you know, were not out and about, you know, everybody was sleeping so the mother could safely, you know, give birth. And because of that, most people in this world are slightly introverted or are subjective in how they look at things and how they see the world. That does not mean they cannot have a job where they are interacting with people. As a matter of fact, some of our more famous actors are actually born this time of the morning, and they've got, you know, both the sun and the moon underneath the horizon there because they're born at night. But they're not, you don't see them in the tabloids a lot. They do their thing, they love what they do, and then they have to take a rest. So with this baby, a Sagittarius rising baby, and it's anyone with Sagittarius rising, if you were born at night and you have your sun and your moon in particular underneath the chart, under the horizon, so that would put the sun, in this case the moon, in the fourth house, but it could be second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth house. If that's where the sun is, yes, this child can go out, yes, the child can play, yes, the child transitions easily. But when this baby needs a break, this baby needs a break. Doesn't want to see anybody else, doesn't want to be playing with anybody else, just would like to spend some time alone. And particularly with the child being a sun and moon Pisces, this child will love beautiful music. This and probably already has, I mean, brand new baby, but probably has a favorite music box already that, you know, can calm this child down. If this child's in a car screaming, please, you know, put on classical music or put on a music box, something pretty for this child to listen to. Very calming effect on this baby. Again, this child also has, because of the time of birth, has Venus in the fifth house. And the sun, Venus is in Aries, which is kind of a very active Venus. Very go out and meet things and attract things, like sports, like competitions. And with that Sag rising, should be very physically active, but also just like puzzles, games, anything. As soon as a child can get in their hands, I know the parents are probably thinking, oh, my, you know, very artistic, you know, like the color. Yes, yes, yes. We'll love to do all that. But as soon as a child can get a deck of cards in his hands or a board game, checkers, start with checkers, of course, and then move to chess, anything where the child can win, very happy. Doesn't matter if they lose to begin with, as long as they can build their skills and to one day where they can win. Mercury is in Aquarius. We'll think a little bit different than some of the other people around the child. Very intellectual as far as if you have to explain something to this child, don't dumb it down. Don't use small words. It should be with the Mercury there being in that third house, and with Uranus there, should have brothers and sisters to follow and get along with them quite well. Matter of fact, with the youngest ones, this boy being the eldest will almost be the youngest child these people have will not learn to speak as quickly because this child will anticipate what his or her or his baby brother or sister wants and, you know, just get it for them. So just be aware of that. When you have your second child, it's not that your child's a slow learner. It's that the firstborn is taking care of everything. This is a child that will keep the family memories. This is a child that will – it's important to have family connections. And, again, I was talking about that in the very, very beginning. So that's kind of nice. Mars is there in the second house, conjunct Neptune. So we're looking when they finally go to support themselves. This is a career that's either, oh, it could be lots of things, but definitely managerial in some sort of way, where they will over, you know, work their way up and then oversee something, and enjoy it. They have nice people skills in that direction. The one planet that is out there on that bucket is Saturn, which I had mentioned before, and it's in Cancer, and it's in the 8th house. Normally, if you have Saturn in the 8th house, you have a very long-lived father. So, you know, father relationship is very important to the child. Of course, mom is too, but, you know, this is, you know, it's a boy, it's a firstborn boy, going to be looking to dad, going to be looking to dad's ancestry in particular. And if there are secrets in your family, I mean, you know, give age-appropriate information. But this child's going to want to know about the secrets. It's going to want to know about, okay, why does so-and-so act the way they do? Why does so-and-so, you know, we don't see them or we don't talk about them, whatever that is. It's not, this child can actually, because it's a compassionate soul, and it's also got this inquisitive mind, don't hold things back once the child reaches a certain age. And, you know, you probably know what's going on in your family more so than, you know, I would just looking at this. But, you know, so as your child ages, if, you know, you've got a relative that's, oh, let's just do something simple, has a drinking problem, don't lie to the child and say, oh, well, Aunt Agatha stumbles occasionally or has trouble with her eyes. You can just say, Aunt Agatha drinks too much and, you know, so this is what happens when you drink too much, son. Do not abuse alcohol. You know, they can handle that kind of truth much more better than, much more better, listen to me from Southern Maryland, than someone trying to hold secrets from them. So I hope that's a nice little overview. I do, of course, full charts for children. And you can go to my website, mybirthchart.com. And I look at both the parents' information there. And that's $225, but it carries them out through the gives them an overview for their you know, early years through elementary school. I had someone else email me and wanted to know, and this was, actually I've had quite a few people email me and wanted to know, could I give them information for a lucky amulet or a ring? And that came on the tail of having James Braha on the show, who is a Vedic astrologer, and I asked him about the sapphire that he wears. Very quickly, let me just say, astrology, Vedic astrology in particular, but even ancient astrology, Hellenistic astrology, the original, you know, astrology, as far back as you can think of, what we did as astrologers, yes, we would prescribe, and it was a prescription, gemstones for people to wear, but it was not based on the month they were born. The month that anybody is born, and if you think about it, overlap signs, whether you're a sidereal or tropical astrologer, it overlaps signs. I mean, you know, how silly is that, saying all May should wear an emerald, which is one of my personal favorites, all May should wear an emerald, but according to tropical astrology, you've got both Tauruses and Geminis born in May. And then according to, of course, sidereal astrology, the correct astrology, you would have Aries and Tauruses born in May. So what would that be about? And then, of course, well, what it's about is marketing, you know, selling. We got these gemstones to sell. Let's put it on a list and let's see if we can get women to buy birthstones or get people to buy birthstones for them. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not prescribing. There's also people that say, you know, if you have your sun in certain signs, you should buy certain gemstones to go with that. That's about half right. And the only reason I say that, and, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, if you, people would used to carry around when I was a child, at any rate, those lucky rabbit's foot. And I used to say, well, it wasn't so lucky for the rabbit. You know, why is this a lucky rabbit's foot? You know, the rabbit doesn't have it anymore. But if you would like this done correctly, what it's based on, and people born the exact same day could have very different gemstones prescribed to them. You need to know a time of birth and what you are looking for. And again, this is sidereal or Vedic. Do not use the tropical. You're not going to get good results with this. You can always wear the birthstone or the stone that is ascribed for the ascendant, the ruler of the ascendant. And there are seven of them, and since I am not a Vedic astrologer, I don't have them on the tip of my tongue. Maybe I can, oops, should have asked Mary to pull that because I knew I was going to discuss it. Oh, well, shame on me. The ones that I can remember. If you have Leo rising, you would wear a ruby. If you have Virgo rising, that would be Mercury ruled, you'd wear an emerald. If you have Libra rising, that would be Venus ruled, and you'd wear a diamond. If you have Scorpio rising, that is Mars ruled, and you would wear red coral, not any red stone. I had someone say, oh, I picked up garnet, you know, because it's red. I said, well, garnet is actually a secondary stone for ruby. So get red coral. I'm not giving the secondary stones on this because I don't have the sheet in front of me, but I'll give the other ones. If you have Sagittarius rising, that ruled by Jupiter, you would get a yellow sapphire. Not any yellow stone, even though some of them work secondary for Jupiter and Sagittarius. If you have Capricorn rising, that would be Saturn, and that is a blue sapphire. If you have Aquarius rising, that is also Saturn. If you go back to the original rulerships, none of these new fancy rulerships here, that would also be a blue sapphire. If you have Pisces rising, that is also ruled by Jupiter, so you'd get a yellow sapphire. If you have Aries, of course that is Mars, and it'd be red coral. Taurus would be Venus, so that is a diamond. Gemini, of course, would be Mercury, and that is an emerald. Cancer would be a pearl. Now, not a, and this is the other specific thing about this, not a South Sea pearl, because what South Sea pearls are, it literally, they're the larger clams, I guess, that go are in the South Seas, and the very clever people figured out that if you, of course, put a bead, and it's a plastic bead, or it's a bead that's made out of some sort of shell, inside these things in 2 or 3 years, because the clam itself is so big, you can get this big bead in, it looks like you have this huge pearl, and they're sold as South Sea pearls, and I think they've got another name, and they sell them for a lot of money, but the fact is there's very little pearl material around it. So you need a pearl that's either, I think the expression is tissue nucleated, where it's a very, very, very small piece of grit that's inserted into the oyster, and so you have essentially mostly completely pearl material, or a natural pearl, as free of pits and blemishes as possible. Let me see, the Japanese perfected the seeding of oysters back in, I think, the 1930s. So, you know, if you pick up any pearls and antique jewelry before 1930, you know you got a genuine pearl. After that, you have to know what you're looking for. Now, like I said, if you see this really huge pearl somewhere, chances are it's South Sea pearl, and that is not going to be good for Vedic purposes because it's not mostly pearl material. It's something else altogether. All these would be set in, you know, 18-karat gold for Vedic. Americans, we like our 14-karat. If it's gold, it's strengthening the sun. If it is silver, it is strengthening the moon. And I asked the question if it was platinum or white gold, and that would be a moon-Venus combination, strengthening that. You don't want to just haphazardly strengthen any planet in your chart. Anyone can wear the stone that is ascribed to their ascendant. And again, this is the sidereal ascendant. What you want to do, if you're serious about this, and like I said, I'm spending so much time on this because I got so many emails on this, and yes, I will, you know, figure yours out, you know, for a fee, but let me, you know, if you want to muddle through this yourself, I want to give you as much information as possible. And what you want to do is get yourself the stone that goes with your ascendant probably first, if you don't know how to figure out, you know, what's under attack or what needs to be strengthened or what dasha bhukti that you're in, Vedically, then kind of carry that stone with you, or they would just tape the stone to their finger or something, tie it to their finger, put it in a pouch and carry it with them for a few days and just see what happens. Do they have any experiences at all? Do they start having good experiences? Does their intuition heighten? Or do they start having a string of bad luck? Because if that happens, it's like, ooh, this is not the good luck amulet I was looking for. And again, you know, it's like whatever you emphasis you place on that, is, to that extent, it's going to come true. Do I use gemstones? Yes, I do. I rather like them. But I also know, it's like it's not going to stop a speeding truck if I, you know, jump out on the highway. So, you know, you can't be silly about this. The reason that the gemstone changes with the person's chart is because it's specific to that person. A little bit more difficult to figure out. You know, it's not just saying, you know, the whole month of May, you know, get everybody an emerald. It kind of cracks me up. Right now I'm in what's called a Saturn Dasa. So I don't wear the blue sapphire, but I wear a lot of amethyst. And I will take it off literally the day that Dasa ends because I don't want to be strengthening my Saturn beyond that. I certainly don't need to be doing that with my own personal chart. But people always say to me, oh, were you born in February? Or whatever month they think. Yeah, I guess they think amethyst is February. And I'll say no. It's like, you know, people, you can wear whatever you want. Why do you have to be? And pearls, I've always been fond of pearls, which actually is a good thing for my chart. I've always been fond of pearls, and people will say the same thing. Were you born in June? No, I wasn't born in June. You know, I just kind of like pearls. Very conservative Northern Virginia stone, I know, but yes, we like them. I hope that answers as many questions as I could possibly cover on that lucky amulet or ring thing. If you'd like to have me figure out exactly, you know, which one is good for you, you can go to mybirthchart.com, that's mybirthchart.com, and get what's called the immediate future chart. Put in the information for that, and that's $225, and it goes out for about 6 months. I will go out about 6 months, but I'll also give you this information. If you would like to find a credible Vedic astrologer, someone who does, you know, they're absolutely Vedic. They're 100% Vedic, where I am sidereal, and I can do this, but I am, you know, I'm sidereal. Then Astrological Gemstones, I believe that's the .com, that they sell Vedic gems. Jay Boyer, if you do a search on his name, Jaybower, you can find his jewelry store, and I know they use several Vedic astrologers that they like to recommend for up there. So, all right, let me see. Got certainly a few more here. I have, I hope his mom's listening. I had emailed her and said that I would talk about her son's chart. She asked me about her son's chart, but I'm not supposed to use her son's name. So what am I going to call her son? Let's call him Entrepreneur. Okay, this Entrepreneur was born October 31st, 1973, and the time of birth was 12:55 p.m., and I'm giving that for people at home because, of course, what goes on in your life is for specific questions will change for that. I do have someone here today that I do not have their time of birth, but that's, and I don't need it for that question, so there's certainly a difference. But anyway, this young man, he's looking to buy, he's had his own business for years, and he has been looking to buy a building, I guess, for his own to move his company into, and he's been going round and round, she said, with the city and where to put it and what he's going to be doing with it. He owns a computer, I guess it's a computer design shop, but he wants to expand, so now he's actually, you know, hosting websites and having his own servers and whatnot. So it's kind of a big step for him. And, of course, being a good mom, wondering when she was going to have grandchildren, she was kind of concerned about it. When will he ever, you know, start dating? So this one's for you, Mom. At any rate, for your young entrepreneur born October 31st, 1973, first of all, anybody born October 31st of any year, the sun was actually in the middle of Libra. In this case, it's 14 degrees of Libra. It's there. It has not gotten into Scorpio yet. And he was born in the afternoon, so the sun is above the horizon, much more extroverted. What I'm looking for here are mostly transits. Yeah, okay, here we go. anyone born around October 31st, 1973, and this is specific to the year, Mars was in 5 degrees Aries. So if you're born a couple days before, up to 5 weeks afterward, it was retrograding, Mars would still be in Aries. So it was not, so I'm taking that back because Mars was retrograding then. So if they were born up to about, oh, a week and a half before, a week and a half afterwards, Mars would have been in Aries and retrograding. Right today, Mars is in Pisces. It's in 6 degrees Pisces. So in about 5 weeks, this person and anybody born around that time is going to be starting a new Mars cycle. What you do in a Mars cycle is you, what you should best be doing is planning out your next 2.5 year goals, because you're going to be starting a new 2.5 year phase, this energy phase, about, you know, about what you do for a living usually, or what level you're going to take your energy to. People that have hobbies, they, you know, they'll go up every 2.5 years. They'll, you know, get more cooking equipment or whatever. They will get more exercise equipment. They'll bump it up, bump it up, bump it up, bump. And it is personally based on where that Mars cycle is. So he's starting a new cycle. The other thing going on, he still has transiting Jupiter up in his 11th house. And the city apparently likes what he's done. They like, he's probably been a good Chamber of Commerce member and stuff. They're talking to him. So that's going to stay there until November of 2007. So that's kind of nice for property. The other thing is Saturn is in his 7th house, and it's going to be there until July 15th, and Saturn will be changing signs. It'll be going, it's right now it's in Cancer, 24 degrees of Cancer. It'll be going to Leo. In this particular case, it'll be going into this young man's 8th house, which I'm going to say he's going to end up getting this property sometime between July and November. And the reason I think that is he'll be starting this new phase. Mars will go into Gemini in September, and because of its retrograding this year, it's going to spend until next March in Gemini, which happens to be his 6th house. So Saturn, the first thing's going to move, it's going to move into his 8th house. So he's got a lot of taxes. He's got a lot of, that's the traditionally your sex, death, and taxes house. You know, so he's got a lot of things he has to look at, a lot of paperwork, a lot of stuff he didn't know about. There's probably things with the building going on. It's like, okay, we'll deal with that. And he's going to be hiring more employees. So he's got, you know, it's a big psychological house, and it's a real shift and responsibilities for him, as opposed to running this company with, like, you know, he's got 3 employees and he's planning to jump it to 12 immediately. So, you know, it's a big, big difference. When Mars is getting ready, of course, to start the new phase, but when it gets into that 6th house, he will have 6 months to redo his work environment on how he wants to be working. With Jupiter up there in the 11th until November, which is always nice for getting rewards for what you've done. So it's like the city elders, because he has been so helpful with the city, will, you know, I'm no doubt in my mind saying, yes, you can do this. After you jump through these hoops, you can do this. And then Jupiter will be in his 12th house for a year, which is doing good deeds for others, among other things. But it's, in the case of this business here, I can see him partnershipping with the city somehow. I don't know if he's doing it, and I don't want to mention the city, only because if by chance, he's hearing this, he'll be calling her up saying, Mom! But it's a nice city in the southeast on the water, and I can see him helping set up the trade and whatnot. I know a little bit about the business and advertising for them. It's a historic city, so that would be good. And then Jupiter will be going into his 1st house in 2009, almost 2010. It's very close. And he'll be having a Jupiter return. And by that time, Saturn will be higher up in his chart. I see nothing but good things for this young man as far as business is concerned. And it's because the rest of the chart, you know, he's positioned himself for it. And that's how astrology works best. You know, this is general for anybody. You can have the greatest transits in the world, But if you do not position yourself to take advantage of them, you know, prepare, then you get a, you know, a kind of a small whoop-de-doo. You don't get much at all. If, on the other hand, you prepare, even if you have a slight opportunity, you know, it can blossom into something so much better because you've positioned yourself for it, you've worked for it, you've gone out and said, hey, I'm willing to do this, this, and this. As far as romance is concerned, well, of course, he is, you know, he's fully invested himself in business, Mom. That's what he's doing. However, I'd like to give you some hope for grandchildren in the future. When Saturn does move into his eighth house, besides doing the whole taxes thing, the first two, of course, being sex and death, sex, death, and taxes being your basic eighth house delineation, what it is also, it's whatever, it's a social house. Sixth, seventh, and eighth has to do with the society that we hang out in. You know, who are our people, essentially? Who, what culture do we claim? What are we willing to do to work for that culture? The sixth house, you know, the culture itself, and the people water it down to partnerships, but it's not just that one person. And then the eighth house is everything that takes us away from other cultures, or so we can remain part of this one, part of this group. What do we have to give up to remain part of this group, and what do we have to, how do we have to pay our dues to this group? If you're in a, you know, take ballroom dancing classes, then you have got to dedicate a certain amount of time to practicing dance, not just going to the class, but practicing your dance steps outside of that. So if you're doing that, then you're not doing something else. So when I say give up, it's a choice of time. I don't say you have to give up your bank account or anything like that. It's like, what am I going to do? It's like, no, I'm not going to be sitting there watching TV. I'm going to be taking, you know, practicing what it is so I can be part of this community, part of this group. It's that kind of thing. We usually, when Saturn goes through our eighth house, what we are confronted with are trust issues. Who do we trust? What kind of people do we trust? Who has our back, essentially? If you have a relationship, because a lot of people get married with Saturn transiting the seventh house, you spend those 2 years like figuring out what to do with the family situation. Where are we going to have Thanksgiving? What are we going to do in the summer? How are we going to take our vacations? Do we have to go visit your family during the vacations? Do we get any vacation time on our own? All those things get ironed out with Saturn transiting that eighth house. We're 2.5 years. What he will more likely do, looking at the rest of his chart, because when Jupiter goes in the 12th house, that's where his Venus is, you know, so he'll meet someone, possibly one of the new employees, possibly a new client that he's got, which is, you know, not always the best situation, but sometimes it's okay. And I'm sure he'll meet somebody after he does this move. Spend a couple years getting to know her, which is a nice thing. And then when Saturn goes into that ninth house, that's when a lot of people sign legal contracts. They also buy property then, and that's what I'm thinking this mom was concerned, that it would take this long, because she knows enough astrology to know that. But he might be buying a house then. You know, if you get married, you know, he'll get out of that apartment that he's in. So well, that's kind of a nice thing. You've got plenty to look forward to, Mom. All right. Oh, goodness, I have... Let's go back to, where is this one? I have a chart here. I wanted to say that actually did have, there he is, did have a stellium. The person had emailed me before, you know, wondering about a stellium, and I said, no, sidereally, he didn't have a stellium. This chart of another young person born January 21st, 1994, and this person was born just after midnight, in the southeast United States, and they do have a stellium. They have four planets, 1, 2, 3, 4 planets, all in Capricorn, all in the fourth house, and then two planets very, very close to Capricorn in 27 and 29 degrees Sagittarius in the third house. So that's a lot of concentration in one area. If you were born January 21st of any year, the sun was in Capricorn. You might already think it was in Capricorn, or you might have think it... can't remember the tropical switchover. You might have think it had gotten to Sagittarius, but it was still in Capricorn. And with having four planets in Capricorn, this is someone who is certainly business directed. Now, this person happens to be homeschooled and has done some entrepreneurial things, but being a healthy young man, kind of wanted to know, when's he going to meet some girls? Because, you know, being homeschooled, you don't get to see so many. Okay, that is a reasonable question. And that's something you're going to have to discuss with your folks as far as, okay, you know, if, you know, I don't know why you're being homeschooled. You know, if you can, if that's a good choice for you for the rest of your life or lifestyle, for whatever reason, then that's what's going to happen. If not, then you may want to get back into, you know, if you can broach the subject with them, say, you know, I'd kind of like to go, you know, be with the rest of the kids. You know, I'm smart enough. I'd like to learn the social stuff. I want to go to dances. I want to experience cafeteria food. You know, I want to find out what this whole locker deal is. Why are people so, like, crazy about decorating their lockers? You know, what is all that about? If that is not an option, then what you can certainly say is, you know, I need more activities that are co-ed activities to go out and do things and meet people. This is what I was just saying about astrology. You can have the greatest aspects in the world, but if you don't position yourself to take advantage of them, you know, how's that going to happen? It happens in a very small way, or a blip on the radar screen, something you barely even notice, and then it's gone. What I would say for anyone born January 21st, 1994, let me see, as far as romance is concerned, well, shoot, you should have met somebody about a month ago. Maybe that's what's gotten you thinking about it, thinking, okay, I've met them, now I can't do anything about it. I'd like to do something about it. Let me see, 3, 6, 9, 12. This summer, July, August, you should certainly, I don't know if it's a matter of being somewhere where you can be on, go swimming, swim team. Everybody's off school in the summer. But you should meet somebody and have more social times to do something. I know most sports are connected to school activities, but there are certainly different leagues that are not connected particularly to any school, and you might want to get involved with those. Like I said, a lot of swim clubs, swim teams, dancing. I'll tell you what, my daughter did Scottish dancing for a while, and I mean, any boy, you could have two left feet, they didn't care. If you'd come dance, I mean, they're like willing anything, just come on in the door, because there's a lot of dances that are male-only dances, or that you need males to lead. And so, you know, like, they're happy to have you there. And it's good exercise. Dancing is always good exercise. And it's, you can wear a kilt, and that may or may not be attractive to you, but there you go. They're fun. What else? Ice skating, of course, is a sport where, you know, you can be out there, and they're happy. I mean, they welcome boys in. Plenty of girls. If you're looking for girls, I mean, there are things that it is okay to do and be a boy, and you're certainly welcome in there, but they're predominantly female. Look around at those things, see what interests you, and ask your mom to get you into that. And I'm sure she'd be happy to. All right, I have time with this last chart here, two charts. And again, if you'd like to call in and ask a question, and I do need your birth information, but and you don't have to give me your name on air if you don't want to do that. But it's 877-876-5227. And, of course, you can see right that up there on your screen. Let me see. This is another. A lot of entrepreneurs, most of my business actually, has to do with people that own their own businesses or, let me see, what am I doing to do here? Own their own businesses or have positions, management positions. Or are in entertainment, actually. So that's something where they're focused. And I think I attract a lot of people that, you know, have that. It's not that I don't have other clients, but that seems to be what I get. At any rate, so long story short, October 21st, 1966, is this woman's birthday. She was born at 1 p.m. in Mobile, Alabama. If you were born October 21st, the sun, just like it was on October 31st, is in Libra, but it's only in 4 degrees of Libra, it's in Libra. That's where it is. Okay, and she's got 5 things, but 2 of them are not planets up there in the 10th house. Of course she owns her own business. Personable person. All right, her situation is her and her ex-husband, whose birthday I have, they've been cordial since they've been divorced. They both own 2 of these businesses together. He's getting ready to leave the country. He's going to sell her his half of the one business they own together. And they have just opened up a 3rd establishment. So I think the question was, I came in here, was, how in the world am I going to pull all this off? Well, first of all, it kind of cracks me up. All right, how in the world, or can I pull this off? I can't read the handwriting here from my assistant, but yeah, you can pull it off. Anyone born October 21st, 1966, or thereabouts, you've got great people skills, and that's part of being able to run your own business. And to pull things off, as what the expression was, because if you've got great people skills and people like you, you have a high emotional quotient. If you need help, people will come in and help you. They're happy to help you because they know you do the same for them. You know, so that's a small part of this. You can make this happen. You also, because of the time of birth, you've got Saturn in that 7th house, just like so you've got Capricorn rising, just like the young man previous. Lots of business people getting ready to do these same kind of business things right now. Yeah, you can certainly, Saturn will be going into that 8th house, so again, you'll be dealing sex, death, and taxes. You'll be dealing with that whole, new paperwork, new finding things out, new figuring things out, being part of this community. Yes, you can make that happen. You are going to have to, and this is important, if anyone was born around October 21st, 1966, you were born with Mars in Leo. Saturn, after July 15th, is going to be crossing into Leo, and you're going to feel that. You're going to have to slow down. If you do not slow down, the universe, your body, will find a way to make you slow down. Okay? I don't want to have to get any more specific because I don't want people running around being all panicky. However, Leo does have to do with the heart. So you are going to have to slow down, and prioritize is the best way to do that. You have things you've got to do every day, okay? Write up on a list. Do those things that you must do. Everything else, can just let that go. You can delegate. I see with this chart here, particularly with Moon in Capricorn, and this is true of anyone with Moon in Capricorn, you have a hard time delegating. You say you want people to take over, you know, like, okay, I don't have to do everything. But what you have found is you are very efficient at managing. You are very efficient at following through. You're efficient at that. And it frustrates you when other people aren't quite as efficient or they don't do it exactly the way you think it ought to be done. Let that stuff go. You're absolutely going to have to. You can pull all this off, but you have got to delegate and you've got to prioritize. And that's going to be the way you do it. And keep your sanity. Again, for you, Jupiter will be going into that 12th house in November. And the other thing about Jupiter going into the 12th house, people tend to give and give and give. It's like you instantly become a Boy Scout or Girl Scout. I mean, you're friendly, helpful, prepared, kind, considerate, all the rest of that. It can wear you out, you know. And that's you know, it's great to be able to give to your community. It's great to be able to help out other people that need to be helped. You know, that's essentially what I think we're here for. You know, you do help each other out as you go through life. But you can't wear yourself to a frazzle so that the following year you're just completely burnt out. And I think that's what this email was concerned about. They can see the opportunities, but they don't want to extend themselves so daggone far. I'm not worried about this person financially. I'm more worried about this person physically. So anyone born around October 21st, 1966, if you have a different birth time, then it might be more of a financial thing. This person's finances will be fine. It's just physically, you don't want them wearing themselves out. And particularly with Saturn going over across that Mars, which will be for anybody with Mars in Leo after July 15th. All right, I want to look at the ex-husband's chart. I do not have a birth time on him. They don't know when he was born. He was adopted. They're not even sure what town he was born in. He was adopted out of Lima, Peru. So it's the agency, I guess, you know, came through there. March 12, 1963 is when he was born. The sun was in 28 degrees Aquarius. Oh, yeah, I guess he is making big changes. Anyone born around March 12th of any year, or a little bit before in particular, you have had big changes in your life because Uranus has been up there. And it spends about 7 years in a constellation, and it's been in Aquarius since the last big stock market crash, the dot-com burst. And when it changes signs again and goes into Pisces, we'll have another stock market dip, but we'll talk about that in a couple of years. Yeah, big changes. Okay, so he's out of there. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's not going to decide to hang out and, you know, maybe have control of something or whatever. I think you could actually buy him out kind of cheap because he's just ready to go. He really doesn't care. And I don't want you to feel like, you know, you're not being fair with somebody. Of course, anyone with Sun and Libra, that's impossible. They must be fair with somebody. But, you know, he doesn't care about the money. He does not care about it. He just wants to get out. He wants to go do something different. He's in a new phase of his life, and he's just ready to be excited about life. Good for him. pardon me. He will be out, because that was also one of the other questions. When did I think he was absolutely, you know, going to be out of the country? I would think it actually may not be completely until next year. And the reason I'm saying that is because Mars right now is in Pisces. When he was born, when anyone around March 12, 1963, again, this is year specific, the Mars was in Cancer. So Mars has got to come down, do its whole retrograde thing it's going to do later on this year, spend all that time in Gemini, and then right about March of next year, Mars will be going into Cancer. Into March, April. Is that when it is? I should know these things. So he may not be completely ready to go. He's just lining up all his ducks right now. So there's no real pressure to pay him immediately, if that was the question. There's no real pressure to pay him immediately. He's not even starting his brand new life. I mean, he's positioning himself for it, which is great. You know, he's got the itch and he's scratching it. But he will not be ready to go. He won't be launching himself until 2008, the spring of 2008. So that's good there. Okay, I'd have time for one more. Oh, this is a sticky one. And I had Mary. If anyone asks me questions like this, I certainly don't normally do these over the air, and you know I don't just respond to them. It's something, you know, if you're in my practice, yeah, we'll deal with it. But this, again, October 25th, look at all these Libra birth dates here. October 25th, 1967, Sun is in 8 degrees of Libra. And she has been married for a long time, not happy with her husband, got married in a fever, essentially, and then it cooled off. And there is another gentleman, which she has not done anything with. They've been friends for years and years. I'm just giving you what she wrote me here and said I could say this over the air. And they email each other. And occasionally they talk to each other, but they mostly email each other. And he's like on the other side of the country or something. Not being an astrologer, astrology aside, I would just tell you this is not a practical situation. And for someone who's all got all the stuff in Libra, and yeah, I'm going to fuss here, it's not an honorable situation. You know, if you're not happy with your husband, then daggone it, deal with it. You know, just you know, one way or the other, decide what to do with that. I know it's great to have a friend, you know, somewhere, and we all have, you know, people that we get along with, and we've known for a long time. But somewhere this turned, you know, as to, you know, this person being a some sort of, I don't know, well, he's a fantasy dude. You know, you don't have to clean his toilets, you don't have to cook for him, you don't have to do any of that stuff. He's interesting, he's fun, he's unattached. And, you know, here you are doing the mom-mobile thing, running back and forth, you know, with the job. And this is common, but it's unnecessary, okay? All right, so enough of my lecturing here on air. But I want everyone else to know, it's like I'm pragmatic. You know, that's what it is. It's like, you know, wake up, you know, see what life is. Deal with your life as it is today. If you don't like it, do something about it. If it can be worked on, fix it. If it can't, get out of it. Just, you know, be honorable with people. So anyway, okay, so what we have here, I'm getting back to you, October 25th, 1967, nothing like being fussed at on international radio, essentially. Again, let's look at Saturn. Saturn has actually been in this person's eighth house. This person is Sagittarius rising. Anyone who has Sagittarius rising sidereally knows this. The last 2 years have been tough. If the 2 years before that you didn't work out any relationship problems or your relationship started to head south, the last 2 years have been tough. Only because you are dealing with trust issues. You are dealing with if there's any dissatisfaction, if there's any skeletons in the closet, you know, they all come out tap dancing. You know, here I am. But if you've been together for years and years and years, this is just part of being married. I mean, people go through these cycles in their marriages, and they don't necessarily go through them at the same time. And she mentioned that, you know, they've been going to counseling together, and that's good. That's a good thing to do with Saturn going through your eighth house, figuring out not what their stuff is, but what your stuff is and how it relates with their stuff. When Saturn moves signs July 15th and goes into Leo, it's going to come on up, and first thing that's going to connect with this person's chart, October 25th, 1967, and that's anybody born around that time period, it's going to connect with Jupiter. Life gets, let's say, I hate to say restrictive, because that sounds so like I'm wearing a seatbelt. And actually, that's probably the best way to, or I'm doing more than wearing a seatbelt. I can't go do anything. The fact is, you can go do things, but you've got to pick and choose, and you've got to be responsible. And, you know, people that drink and drive, they get caught when Saturn's rolling over their Jupiter. It ain't fun for them anymore, or they start getting hangovers. People that cheat on their taxes, particularly if it's up in the ninth house like it is, and I'm not saying this person here, I'm just giving a general, they get caught. Saturn rolling over that Jupiter means you have got to stop doing anything that you have been doing excessively that you should not be doing, okay? It also means on the plus side, and there is a big plus to this, on the plus side is you can look at what really brings you joy, and you could focus on that stuff. You might not be able to do it to the extent that you'd like to do it, but you can focus on that stuff. Let's say you had a dream about, and I'm going to relate back to this person here, but this dream of learning to do sailboating, going on a sailboat. Now would be the time, or actually after July 15th would be the time to start taking lessons, not only swimming and safety lessons, but to go out on a sailboat. I know they've got classes where you actually learn the rigging, you learn the knots, you learn all that. Use that Saturn to establish a framework so you can have joy with it later. If you've always dreamt about building your own house and you have Jupiter in Leo, Saturn crosses over into Leo, start finding out about building materials, start finding out about septic fields, if you need a septic field. Start finding out about roof pitches and lighting and garbage disposals and all this stuff. Use that time, again, constructively. That's the best thing to do with Saturn. So you can have joy with whatever your ideal is in the future. That's what you're going to want to be doing. If you are doing something you shouldn't be doing, you're going to get caught. It's that simple, and then it just gets messy for everybody. Okay, not the happy note I wanted to end on, but I'm glad I got this person in. If nothing else, you've learned a little bit more about where my values are and morals are and the rest of that. And I know somebody, a friend of mine, said, don't shoot on me. But I kind of agree with Descartes. It's the day of no judgment, I fear. And, you know, basically, if you follow the golden rule, treat other people the way you want to be treated. And that certainly applies to loved ones. I don't know why we leave them out of that equation. Then life is a whole lot better for everybody. It sure is. This is Deb's the Horoscopes Lady saying goodbye here. The sun is still just got into Taurus. We're having a new moon tonight, so it's a good time to go out this evening to look at the stars and the planets. A lot easier to see. And we'll be talking to you next week. I've got Grimalkin. He owns the San Francisco Sidereal School of Astrology. And he'll be our guest. So thanks so much. Bye now.